We were watching a good Christian movie, Kim and I, and it actually was, it featured an actor that portrayed Billy Graham in his early days in a revival in Los Angeles. And he opened the revival by saying that my message will be fairly brief tonight. And he said, but I always say that. Well, tonight we're going to talk about the light of the world. It was interesting to me to find out that Christmas Eve, 1968. Now, not everybody in this room will remember Christmas Eve, 1968. But on that day, the astronauts of Apollo 8 circled the moon, and they broadcast a message back to Earth. They were told, by the way, on that day, that they would have the largest audience that ever heard a human voice at one time. So what would they choose to say? What would the astronauts choose to say? It was the lunar module pilot, William Anders, who began. And these are the words that he spoke. For all the people on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message we would like to send you. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Well, you know, in the Gospel of John, that message that was spoken, that was taken from the first book in the Bible, the first chapter in the Bible, the first verses in the Bible, Genesis 1. In John's Gospel, John 1, he begins by saying, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. So, as Jesus began his ministry, as he began sharing the love of God, demonstrating what the Father was really like, saying to us, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He spoke to the people, and again in John's Gospel, now we're in chapter 8, and he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I really believe that and it's life-changing to come to understand the meaning of that, to see Jesus for who he is and what it means that he has come to be the light and to shine that light into us that we might have life. It's interesting that he spoke those words in the temple, the Jewish temple that day. It was during the Feast of Tabernacles, a time when the Jews would have gathered in Jerusalem to commemorate, to remember their wandering in the wilderness, if you recall that story. If you've ever watched Moses and the Ten Commandments and seen the Israelites led out of Egypt, crossing the Red Sea, and into the wilderness there, how they had to live in tents or tabernacles. And so the Feast of Tabernacles was a reminder of those days when God delivered them from Egypt, caused them to be there in the wilderness until he entered the Promised Land with them. He led them into the Promised Land. Now, I want to ask you something. In that wilderness, how did God lead the people? In that desert, as they were traveling from Egypt into the Promised Land, how did God lead them? Do you remember? Something by day and something by night. And no, it wasn't Paul Revere or anything like that. What was it? Yeah, a pillar of fire, right, at night, and a pillar of cloud with light emanating from it in day. And that light led them through the wilderness. Jesus was speaking these words as they were remembering that very thing. Jesus often took the opportunity to try to demonstrate, to get across his message by doing it during a time when people would be thinking about certain things. Like, for example, in the same Feast of Tabernacles. Do you remember when God told Moses to go and speak to the rock in the desert that living water would come out, that they were thirsty and they had no water, and he spoke to the rock and it brought forth water. Do you remember that? Well, as a commemoration of that, during the same festival, the priest in the temple would take a pitcher of water and would pour it out in commemoration of God pouring out water out of the rock in the wilderness. And it was at that time that Jesus would teach that he was the living water. You remember, too, that in that same desert, the same story, that they were hungry and God literally rained down manna from heaven. At the same time that they're remembering that, Jesus is saying to them, your forefathers ate manna in the wilderness, but I am the bread of life that came down from heaven, that if someone receives me, they will live forever. Your forefathers ate manna, but yet they died. But for all who would receive me, they will never die. They will live forever, eternal life. All these things were illustrations that would have been powerful for the audience at the time because they understood the symbolism. They understood the connection. And sometimes we miss it. Well, this connection about the light of the world was also extremely powerful. Jesus, at the moment that he was speaking of it, was in the court of women. Now, if any of you are familiar with the Jewish temple, it was divided into courts. And actually, this particular courtyard was the furthest that the women could go into the temple. The next was the court of the Gentiles. And it was the furthest that they could go, because only then Jews or those that had converted to Judaism were allowed in past that point. So, now, maybe you'll get a snicker over this one. So, where do you think they put the temple treasury for receiving of the offering? Back in the place where everybody could get to it. Uh-huh. And so, Jesus went up to that court. It was the court of women. And this is where, by the way, if you remember the teaching of Jesus to his disciples about the woman that came and only gave two very small coins worth practically nothing. But Jesus had said when he watched her that she had given more than anybody else. If you recall that story, that's the spot. It was the court of the women where the temple treasury was, where the collection for the offerings were taken. 13 different places where an offering could be placed for different purposes. And so Jesus picked that court during a special time of the Feast of Tabernacles. For the court of the women was lined with what we would call today candelabras. And actually there was an illumination of the temple that took place during this festival. And they would light all of these candles, and they said the glow was just incredible. It was an incredible experience to see the lighting of the temple begin from darkness to glow with light. And it is at that moment that Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of light. life. Light that is the active power that dispels darkness. Jesus was saying that he is the light of truth that can dispel the darkness of falsehood. He's the light of wisdom that dispels the darkness of ignorance. Jesus Christ is the light of holiness that dispels the darkness of sin and evil. Jesus Christ is the light of joy that can dispel the darkness of sorrow. Jesus Christ is the light of life that can dispel the darkness of death. When he says, "I am the light of the world," he actually uses what the Jews called the tetragrammaton, the I am. You remember? Moses goes over to the burning bush. God speaks to him out of the bush. And as a result, God tells him to go to the people and give them the message, "I'm going to set you free." Moses says, "Who shall I tell them sent me?" And what does God say? "Tell them the I am. The I am sent you. The great I am." That's called the tetragrammaton, and it's where we get, you know, the translation of Yahweh, or in our New Testament, Jehovah. Because the Jewish or the Hebrew alphabet did not have vowels in it. So when we add the vowels, we went from YHWH to Yahweh and then Jehovah. Jesus uses the tetragrammaton, and you know why he did? "I am the light of the world." He was demonstrating that he was God. He was claiming to be the great I am, come to earth in human form, just as was prophesied, to be the Messiah, which the Jews understood as Savior, the anointed one that would come to save. And the scriptures that they knew, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all." They understood what he was saying, what he was claiming. And he picked the moment when the candles were lit to stand up and say, "I am that light. I'm a light that will never be extinguished." Here we are, what, 2,000 some years after the birth of Christ. Christianity has changed so many lives and has brought light into so many families, has brought hope. As you know, I'm a hospice chaplain, and I have the opportunity to be with many people, even at their time of death, even this week, as we were speaking of, to know that because of Christ, that they will never have to say a final goodbye. Do you know what kind of hope that can bring? Never a final goodbye. Jesus was saying, "I'm the light that will lead you to God, that will lead you to heaven, that will lead you to everlasting light." But it was a light that he said that was to be followed. Remember I said how the pillar in the wilderness would pick up and move, and they knew that they had to move with it. Jesus was remembering that and demonstrating that as he is the light, he is to be followed. That's what the original scripture said. To all who would follow him, he would be the light of life. Whoever follows me will have that light. If you follow me, he would say, you have me with you always. You know the promise? I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you always. The light gives life. He is indeed the way to eternal life. He's the one that dispelled the darkness even in the human heart. You know, I know that you know. And even at this time of the year, when it seems like there is a spirit that can bring out the best in people, we also see, for those of you that were doing some last-minute shopping, maybe the worst in people as well. The fact of the matter is, you know, we humans have the capacity for such good, but unfortunately also such evil. It comes with the gift that God gave us of free will. In order to give us choice, the ability to love, the ability to say to someone, I choose to give you my heart, because you can't force anybody to love you. It has to be a choice. In order to give them that choice, give us that choice, God gave us that freedom to decide for ourselves, to choose for ourselves, whether to love or to hate, whether to do good or to do evil. And so in this world, we see both living side by side right now. We see such good that can take place. Giving hearts, you know, people that minister to others, that even sacrifice of themselves to help others. And then we see the other side as well. We do see the evil. And unfortunately, isn't it true that for some reason, it is the bad news that seems to always make the headlines? It's the bad news that's promoted on TV news. It's the bad news that we hear too often and not the good. But there's so much good. So much good that does take place all the time because of the capacity for good that God made in the human heart. That capacity is awakened when you invite Christ in. That's why he came. That light is what really shines forth in your heart, dispelling the darkness, dispelling the selfishness that rules our world, and encouraging people to give like God gave, right? For God, as I mentioned, is a great giver. There will be a day, the scripture says, that indeed the glory of the Lord will cover the earth like the waters cover the sea. We know that the church, I'm not talking about a building, I'm talking about the true ecclesia, the church, the called out ones that follow Jesus. We are also to be the light of the world and to shine with that light. And how good it could be if we would follow him, follow his example of giving, of loving. Well, when we let the light in, that can happen. And Jesus offers to us, every one of us, to come in with that light and bring us true love and true light. Tonight, we are going to have communion, and then we're going to have our candlelight service, the lighting of candles, as we always do, as we close our service with the singing of Silent Night. But before we do, we're going to have the opportunity to demonstrate the receiving of Jesus. As I mentioned, one of the I am statements that we find in the Gospel of John, there's seven, one of the I am statements is that I am the bread of life. And so tonight, we will indeed receive that remembrance, right? That remembrance we can hold in our hands as a tangible reminder of the words of Christ, that he comes to be our bread of life, the kind that when we receive him, he can take the hunger of a human heart and quench it, satisfy it. The kind of bread that even though we know the saying that man shall not live by bread alone, right? But he can be the bread that gives life eternal. And so we all have the opportunity tonight to receive him in a tangible way. Communion was meant to be that, to remember the gift of God, the love of God demonstrated in this, that Jesus would lay down his life for us, the sinless man who came as that babe, but kept himself so perfect that one day he could offer himself on behalf of everyone who wasn't perfect, which is you and me. That because he willingly laid his life down, that the payment has been made. But that payment must be applied to each one of us. Personally, the price is paid, but it's only applied to your life when you ask for it That's that free will. It's what God chooses. He doesn't force or coerce. And so to all who will tonight, we can receive Him. We receive tonight the bread of life, and then we are going to remember and receive the light of Christ right on its heels. But as we do, let's prepare our hearts. Let's just still ourselves before Him and think about why He came. Left heaven itself, squeezed into human flesh, humbled as a man, as a child in a lowly manger, to come and experience the good and the bad of human, to relate to us and all that we go through, and still be able to reach out a hand to us and say, come, follow me, and I will lead you to life everlasting. Lord, we ask you tonight to be our bread of life, to satisfy the longing in our hearts, to feed us, Lord God, with that which satisfies, to bring us life, O God, and life eternal. We thank you for what you did, Jesus, and how you came. So allow us, O Lord, the remembrance tonight, and allow it to be powerful as the elements are in our hands, to truly welcome you in, anew and afresh. We pray in Jesus' name. The ushers come.